Hello, friends. Welcome. You are in the right place. If you have been a Sharon Says So subscriber, it's still me. We have changed the name of our podcast to Here's Where It Gets Interesting. And we're so excited that you're here. Today, I'm chatting with YouTube sensation, former NASA and Apple engineer, and just all around quality human, Mark Rober. So let's dive in. I'm Sharon McMahon. And here's where it gets interesting. I am extremely excited to be chatting with Mark Rober today. Thank you so much for being here.
Great to be here.
I would love for you to give everybody who's listening just a super high-level overview of how you got started. And also, how did you get, was it 23 million YouTube subscribers?
Who's counting, honestly?
Who's counting at this point? Once you hit 20 million?
Yeah, it's all the same.
Who's counting? Give us an overview of your background.
Sure.
So people can get to know you a little.
Sure. So yeah, I'm a mechanical engineer. And I worked for like 9 years at NASA, 7 of those working on the Curiosity rover. That's roving on Mars, might have heard of it. So I was like an engineer who helped on that. And then after that, I went and worked at Apple for 5 years in their special projects group. But most notably to the folks listening to this podcast, like about a decade ago, I had a Halloween costume where I had like an iPad in front, an iPad in back. If you do a FaceTime video chat, it looks like you have a hole in your body because like the back camera shows what's on front and vice versa. People at the party thought it was kind of cool, so I uploaded it to YouTube. And after like a few days, it had like 2 million views. And I'm like, well, this is a cool feeling. And also, I have more ideas. So literally since then, I've just made like one video a month where I make some kind of build using my engineering skills. And you know, I tell a story around it. And the channel's just grown bigger and bigger. At this point, my passion and the thing that really gets my heart pumping is getting people, especially the young folk, pumped about science and engineering and education. And I do that through really just fun YouTube videos. So instead of teaching about chemistry and just being like, this is a reaction, I build a 15-ton jello pool, the world's largest jello pool. And then I talk about how hard it was and the failures we had to overcome and the scientific method and the chemistry gets snuck in there. And so before you know it, you've learned something and you've enjoyed the last 10 minutes of your life. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
I would love to go back in time to fifth grade Mark. I sometimes refer to my childhood. I refer back to myself as fifth grade Sharon. What was she like? I was always real annoyed with this boy named Jason in my class who got away with everything.
Ugh, Jason.
Meanwhile, I was constantly in trouble for asking very legitimate questions in my mind. I remember once raising my hand to my fifth grade teacher, and we were talking about, I don't know, Chernobyl or some terrible accident. And I asked him, how come radiation causes cancer, but we also use radiation to treat cancer? I mean, I think that's a legitimate for a 10-year-old, right? No, I got in trouble for that. I got in trouble for asking that question. So Anyway, I would love to know, what was fifth grade Mark Rober like?
Well, I think I might have been Jason, first of all. This is going to be problematic.
Did you get away with everything?
Mark, yeah, I think so. I was definitely also inquisitive. So I think like a formative moment in my childhood. So my mom was, she had the biggest influence on my life by a very comfortable margin. She took like raising kids pretty seriously. She's a stay-at-home mom. And I remember, you know, we had to help with dinner and I was 5 years old and she had me cutting onions. And I was like, this is the worst with crying. So I remember I went upstairs underneath our sink in the bathroom. I got the goggles and I came down and I started cutting onions with goggles, which it's like, now that's like a common life hack, but fifth grade Mark didn't have Google, all right?
Yeah.
I was original, at least. Other people probably thought of it, but I was original in my thinking on that. But my mom just thought it was so funny and delightful and clever that she like took a picture, which back then meant it was like a film camera. So that was like, you only had 24 things to take a picture of. So that meant something. And that stayed around in the family. And being encouraged by that to like think outside the box and be creative. At the same time, while like she also instilled like a lot of like good morals and be a good human being in us, it was just such a lovely combination to grow up in, and just being encouraged. Like she was our biggest cheerleader for anything that happened. So I would say I was kind of like mischievous, always a bit of a prankster, but it was always pretty benign, being curious about the world around me for sure.
Mm. When did you set your sights on engineering? When did you know, like, this is what I'm going to do?
I kind of always liked math and science, but I would say in like high school physics specifically, I was like, oh, this scratches an itch in my brain, because it's like you can understand the world around you and predict it using math and equations, you know. And if I drop a rock off a building, I know exactly how many seconds until it hits the ground. And by the way, so does the guy on the other side of the world who we don't even speak the same language. You know, we're from a completely different cultural background, but we would come up with the same answer. There's just something so beautiful about that, that I love so much. In a world of uncertainty, it's like with math and science and equations, we can understand the current thing, and then the real power is predict the future about events and, you know, interactions. And then with that, before you know it, you're building rocket ships to other planets.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved watching the Curiosity launch. What was that project like to work on for you?
Yeah, it's crazy with working on space stuff like that, because it's like so binary. Like I worked on it for 7 years. Half of that was working on like the jetpack that lowers it to the ground. Half of that was some hardware I had on the rover itself. And you work so long, so many long hours for so many years. And it comes down to like basically 7 minutes. You know, you enter the top of the atmosphere at 25,000 miles per hour. That's like five times faster than the bullet. It's like 75 football fields in a half a second. You know, imagine sitting on the 50-yard line of a football stadium and all of a sudden this thing comes by. In a half a second, it does 75 football fields, right? So you have to go from that speed down to a comfortable like 5 miles an hour to come through land. Somehow you have to get rid of all that energy in just 7 minutes. And so there's this whole series of things that happens where it's like, you know, there's a heat shield that gets rid of some of the energy, and then you have parachutes and then retro rockets. And you don't know if it's even worked. It takes 7 minutes to do that. It takes 30 minutes to get a signal back to Earth. So by the time it's either landed in a smoldering heap or it's nice and safe, by the time we even get the signal, it's entered the upper atmosphere. Whatever has happened has already happened. It has to be all autonomous, right? But the point is like, there is no real in between. It's either safe and it can roll around and it's in one piece, or it's just not. And so being there with all those people, in total, like 3,000 people worked on this thing, if you include contractors, and we're all watching this with bated breath, you know, along with the world, because this is like, kind of represents in some ways like the future of humanity and the hope of like science and understanding things. And then just to get that first image back from the rover, like I'll never forget that. It's probably my favorite picture of all time. It's just like a very low resolution image from one of the hazard cams up front. And all you could see is just the shadow of the rover on Mars. And you could tell it's in one piece from the shadow. And it's like, even now, it's like you get emotional just thinking about that. It's like,
totally. I totally do. I absolutely cried watching that land on Mars. And I was like, human ingenuity. I just love it.
Yeah, 100%. It's kind of like landing on the moon type of moment. Just the thing, like, when we all work together, this is what we can accomplish. How cool is this, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, even 50 years ago, there was questions like, are there people even living on Mars, you know? To go from that, maybe 100 years ago, to go from that to actually, like, having remote, you know, robots there, and then soon to have humans stepping foot, mm-hmm. which will happen, you know, the first person to step foot on Mars is alive right now. It could be someone riding in their car with their parents listening to this podcast. Like, it could be you, dear listener, who could be the first person on Mars, which is just so cool, right?
As we're recording this, NASA just had to postpone the launch of Artemis, which, you know, like Artemis 1, which is an unmanned mission to the moon, but a start of a new NASA venture, which will eventually, hopefully, lead to humans on Mars. If NASA called you up, would you be like, I'm on board. I'm getting on that spacecraft.
I mean, I will go eventually, not necessarily to Mars, but for sure in space. I mean, a lot of people listening to this will too. It will just become way, way, way more commonplace. I would say, at the end of the day, I am an engineer and a bit risk averse, so I will definitely go. I don't really see the value. If you're not the first, and even then, I don't see a ton of value being in the first, but I'll go once we're like, we've got all the data back, that it's real safe.
Once we've ironed out the kinks and I feel confident.
Full of the kinks first, you know.
Oh, I love it. There's just something about space that, you know, humans have wondered about it since the beginning of time and have had little to no answers about it. It's always been out of our reach. And watching the advancement of scientific discovery over the last few decades, obviously it began before my lifetime, but even watching it accelerate over the past few decades is so, there's just something about it where you know that you're, the people that came before you are looking up at the same sky and you have answers that they never had access to. I just love it.
I love it too. Well, and to be fair, they did have answers, right? But like everyone had a different explanation for what those were.
True. I love how in your bios on places like Instagram and YouTube, you have something that you say, which is that you are a friend of science. Mm-hmm. And I would love to know what that means to you.
I just think that, like, science is beautiful, and sometimes it can seem scary to people. A comment I get a lot is, like, I was never good in school and with science, and as a result, they have, like, a fear of it or an aversion to it. And like I said, with the other thing, you know, with the Jell-O pool, or maybe it's the world's largest super soaker or Nerf gun. Like, I kind of like try and trick people into learning science. It's kind of like the velociraptors hunting. You remember Jurassic Park where he's distracted by that one velociraptor in front. You know, he's about to get it. And then all of a sudden the velociraptor sneaks it from the side. He's like, clever girl, you know, and then it gets him, right? That's my approach to science. I get you in with like a cool, clever thumbnail that you're looking at. Or pool filled with Orbeez. Or like world's largest elephant toothpaste reaction. You're like, oh, my brain is like, that seems easy. That seems digestible. That seems fun. Mm-hmm. You click on it. And then before you know it, you've been clever girled with all this science and chemistry and density and, you know, like you're learning scientific principles. And even if you don't remember the exact fact a year later, you remember how you felt, and then it's like even for a moment you had understanding and your understanding of the world around you increased a little bit. And like just getting people like a little bit addicted to that feeling of not being complacent, which is knowing what you know and getting hungry for like just understanding more. I love getting people just like hooked on that, right? Like I'm like the gateway drug for you. Yeah,
totally. I call them brain tingles.
Yeah.
Where it's like you were saying with your physics class where it just like itched something in your brain. I call them brain tingles. Like there's just something where you're like, ooh, that feels really good to know.
Yeah.
I really like it. I like knowing that.
And I want to do that. I want to seek that out more. You know what I mean?
So like totally.
I can't, you know, if you watch all my videos, you're not going to have a degree in mechanical engineering, but you will hopefully have the motivation to be like, oh, you know what? This is kind of a career that might be interesting to me. And I get that comment like a lot from parents is like, my kid wants to be an engineer because of you, and the kid's like 7 years old. I didn't even know what an engineer was probably till I was like 12. Because when we were growing up, it's like, you had Mr. Wizard's World and like Bill Nye, but you didn't have any like cool engineers. So to like try and be the engineer to show like, look at all this, if, you know, if there's something that you want to exist in the world, but it doesn't, as an engineer, you just make it exist. Like, you have that power. It's a superpower, right?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Listen, I know if you pick up any kind of beauty magazine or you follow an influencer, there's like a new skincare product every single day of the week, and it can be really difficult to know which ones to even try, like which one is worth your money. And if you're tired of cycling through ineffective skincare trends and overcomplicated routines, you might be excited to know that one of today's sponsors is OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy. No complicated routines, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. I especially like the eye cream. It's not too thick where you feel like it's going to clog all your pores, but it goes on really, really nicely under makeup. For a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase using the code SHARON when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. Try OneSkin and enjoy younger, healthier skin without all the extra steps. That's oneskin.co, code SHARON. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why are you feeling the way that you are? Do you not have enough boundaries? Are you less social this time of year? Is the spring sunshine starting to energize you? It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings starting to pick up after the winter. I know so many people who have benefited from talking to a professional in therapy. A qualified mental health professional can help you learn positive coping skills like monitoring and protecting your social battery. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Sharon today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Sharon.
I loved watching you hosting Jimmy Kimmel. Tell us how that came to be.
How did it came to be from a text message.
And Jimmy said, hey, I saw that. Yeah.
You want to host my show on July 14th? I'm like, sure. Right? But before that, I don't know. Like, Jimmy saw one of my videos like 6 years ago. This is back when my channel had like 200,000 subscribers. Like, it was pretty small. And I came on his show and I did his show a few times, and his crew would be like, Jimmy really likes you. I'm like, whatever, you say that to everyone. But by like the fifth time, I'm like, I think he does like me.
Yeah, why would he invite you back?
Yeah. So then he's like, dude, we should do like a TV show together. I think you're a star. And like, I feel like Jimmy and a few other people kind of saw in me something that even still, I almost don't even see him myself. Anyway, so it started a friendship, and he's like a good dude. And people are like, oh, ask, what's someone like that like in real life? This is what I'll say about Jimmy. I haven't said this much. Actually, I don't even think I've ever said this publicly. I hope he's okay with it. Mm-hmm. But I have a son who's on the autism spectrum. He's like 15 years old. And him and Jimmy text daily. In fact, a lot of times, like, Jimmy will text and, like, my son will, like, almost ghost him and not even get back to him for, like, a day, you know?
Leave him on red. Leave Jimmy on red.
Leave him on red. It's just the kind of human that he is. Like, no one until now, sorry, mm-hmm. Jimmy, will ever know about that, you know? But he just, that's just who he is. So, anyways, he just asked me if I wanted to host a show. So I did. And it was kind of wild because I'm not a talk show host. I'm a freaking YouTuber, right? And I think there's an authenticity there where it's like, it was not the most polished thing. But it wasn't also the worst thing. And the feedback I got was kind of refreshing because it's like, it's growth mindset. Like, I wanted to do it strictly because I knew it would be such a learning experience for me. I've been on the show as the bit guy. I've been on the couch. I'd never been the host, though. And so being the host is just like a whole different ballgame. And I learned a ton, and it was really fun. I mean, that's the thing I love about YouTube specifically is this idea of growth mindset. And, you know, you go back and watch any YouTuber, go back and just literally click back and watch their first video and compare that with what they do now. And it's adorable to see in the eye of the public for everyone to see the growth that occurs. A lot of times you're like a movie star or someone like that. By the time you see them, they're pretty polished. They've got their craft down, right? But with YouTube, it's really cool to see that growth. And that's so important to me. I think that's so important for kids and just people in general to realize just like, it's cool to not know a thing and to dive in and get better at it. And it's okay. And there's no shame in failing. I gave a TED talk about this. Mm-hmm. And so for me to personally step up and do that myself was just like, I love it. It's a great chance to show people by example how to do something like mm-hmm. that.
Do you feel like there's more hosting in your future? Not necessarily, you know, not necessarily of Jimmy's show, but just like of a TV show in general.
I don't know. So I did do a show that will air on Discovery here in about a month where we prank people who violate social norms. So if you don't pick up your dog's poop, we build, you know, a catapult, launch it back at your house, or like we build an autonomous robot dog to like shoot it back at you, or don't put your grocery cart back. We make a robot army garbage carts that will chase you around the parking lot. So that is like a delve into the TV world. But I don't know, man. The future is YouTube. It's a pretty good gig. Like, it's hard to do TV and these other things because it's like, I mean, more people see my stuff on YouTube. I have full creative control. And candidly, it's like you get compensated a lot better when it's, I don't have a lot of mouths to feed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's hard to do something other than YouTube, right? It's like a hard... Mm-hmm. It took 5 or 6 phone calls for Jimmy to convince me to even make this show with Discovery. And for him to be like, no, this would be a good thing for you. And I think in the end, he's right. But it's definitely not like, all right, now I've done it. I no longer am a YouTuber. I'm a TV. I'm like,
that's right.
It's like the other way. And by the way, most of the TV personalities kind of wish they had more of like a YouTube presence because it's like a direct connection with your fans. And mm-hmm. when I want to do something like, you know, I just recently launched a company to like help kids get more, you know, stoked about science education. I could do that and I could tap a microphone and reach, you know, 20 million people. And mm-hmm. if you're a movie star, it's like the only way you get to tap that microphone is if they put you on a TV show and then you can talk about it on the talk show, right? Mm-hmm. But I can just do that whenever I want.
We have all had embarrassing moments where something didn't smell quite right. And if you have any children or people in your lives who have stinky toes, stinky feet, and those stinky shoes pile up by the door of your house, and then when people come over, they're like, your house smells weird. There's a solution for that, and it is not necessarily spraying down your house with disinfectant. It is taking care of the smell at the source by using Lumi on places like the people in your house's stinky feet. It is a whole body deodorant. It is safe to use anywhere on your body. It was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how stinky feet and other body parts are often misdiagnosed as problems, when in reality, you could just use a product like Lumi and it would take care of the issue. It has been clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code Sharon at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code Sharon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I absolutely love what you have done for ocean cleanup and for planting trees. First of all, I mean, nobody's out there saying like, I hate the ocean and I hate trees, but I truly do. Like, I love whales so much. I love dolphins and whales. I live in northern Minnesota where there's a lot of trees here. Tell us about your tree planting endeavors and your ocean cleanup endeavors.
Yeah, ultimately, there's another YouTuber who's a buddy of mine, Mr. Beast, and we just said we should do something for Mother Earth. Why not? We're also fans ourselves. And so we have this platform, and it's like, at some point, it almost becomes irresponsible not to, like, I don't know, do something. Mm-hmm. So we said, Team Trees, let's raise $20 million. $1 equals one new tree in the ground. We'll work with a professional organization like the Arbor Day Foundation who does this. They agreed they're on board. If we raised the $20 million, they would plant 20 brand new, million brand new trees. And the key was then we went out to our other YouTube friends, we made videos on ours, and we just really got everyone talking about this and stoked about this. And in less than 2 months, we were able to do it. But the coolest part about it is like the median donation is like $4, mm-hmm. which is like, that's tooth fairy money. That's bake mm-hmm. sale money. This does not solve climate change, and we're very clear about this. That's not the goal here. The goal is like getting young folks who look up to us to be like, yeah, like I'm on Team Trees, right? Or eventually we did Team Seas, where it's just like, if I see litter on the ground, I pick it up. It's a shift in them to be like, I donated my tooth fairy money to that. And therefore, like, this is a cause that is now important to me. I'm gonna leave the lights off when I leave the house, because I want to conserve energy and we got to mm-hmm. take care of the earth, right? Like, that was like the real goal. Because eventually, to make real changes, you need policy, right? This has to happen at a policy level to make actual lasting changes that can benefit everyone. But if nobody cares about it and there's not that shift in the heart that this is important, policy doesn't follow. So it's like, I'll stay in my swim lane. I'm not a politician, but what I can do is I can affect the hearts and minds, especially the young generations, of caring about something like this. And then the policy will come after that, right? But we're very clear that this doesn't solve it on its own. It's the first and necessary step. So after, like I said, after Team Seas, then we did, 2 years later, we did Team Seas, which was $30 million. We arbitrarily just picked a different number, which was $10 million bigger, which made it very difficult on ourselves. But we were able to pull it off, and that's raised $30 million to remove 30 million pounds of trash and plastic from the beaches, oceans, and rivers. And we did that also in 2 months. And that was pretty cool.
How does one do that? How does one remove that much plastic from the oceans?
Again, working with like very qualified nonprofits. So they're already out there, but sometimes they just need, you know, more funding. And so we worked with the Ocean Conservancy and the Ocean Cleanup. There are two different ones. The Ocean Cleanup focuses on like rivers. They have the trash eating monster that like as trash comes down the river, it like eats it up and keeps it from going to the ocean. And the Ocean Conservancy, they do like beach cleanups, as well as they remove like a bunch of fishing gear and stuff, ghost nets from the ocean. That's specifically because it's adverse to like large marine wildlife, like your whales, your favorite, the whales.
Like fun fact, whales.
Whales are the largest organism, animal, I mean, if you don't count like tree, like aspen trees or something, like to have ever lived on the planet. Like how lucky are we in the lifespan of the whole planet to be here with like the biggest organism that's ever existed.
Mm-hmm. I love it. There's something so cool about whales. They're also so gentle. I could talk about them all day, but they are such cool animals.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I have to tell you that my kids got one of your Crunch Lab boxes, and they were, of course, very excited to get it, like ripped it open, did it cut it open nicely. They just, it's like they destroyed the box. And they immediately engineered the project that was inside. But I didn't know what it was. I did not know what the project was. And they came, I was sitting there working at my computer, and my daughter came in holding this thing that was like, oh, you know, I don't know what this is. You know, just kind of like, Pretty soon she's pelting me in the forehead with her tiny frisbee launcher.
Excellent.
That she built.
Mission accomplished.
Fool your parents into thinking you're doing some homework or some such thing, and in reality, you're building a frisbee launcher.
The best. Yeah.
How did you come up with the idea to launch this subscription box?
Yeah, so it's like, we just launched it, like you said, like a couple months ago. But like, parents would ask me, like, look, my kid wants to be an engineer, but they're 8 years old, right? What's the first step? Like, what should I do? And I just never had a great answer to that. Because there are like Arduino kits, which is like little things you can like, but that's just, there's not a lot of explanation with those. I genuinely didn't have a great answer to that. So eventually I was like, all right, I should make something. Because kids also watch my videos and they're like, that's so cool, I would love to make something. But it's like, they also don't know the first step. So the idea with these is like, I send you, it's a monthly box, you get it. And for example, the first one's like a frisbee launcher. And you build this thing next to me while I build it on screen. And I teach you all about the science behind, you know, each one has a different engineering lesson. So on the frisbee launcher, it's flywheels. We learn about flywheels. But we also learn about like, what makes frisbees even fly? They're amazing contraptions. The science behind that is so fascinating. So with each box that you get like a dedicated 20-minute Mark Rober video where I show you how to put it together, but I also teach you the cool science behind it. And that's kind of the gist of it. And we launched it along with like, I made this like Willy Wonka factory for engineering called the Crunch Labs. It's where we build all our stuff now. And it's where we come up with the box ideas. But it has like a tennis ball cannon from American Gladiators. It's got like, you know, go-kart tracks, cool inventions to like get from one floor to the other, secret passageways. So part of the box is like each month, one person gets a platinum ticket. And if you get that platinum ticket in your box, you get to come out and visit the Crunch Labs with me and build with my team for a day, whatever you want.
That's so exciting.
So yeah, we launched it. And then in less than a week, we completely sold out of what we hoped was like 6 months to a year's worth of product. So the good news is, though, we will have more in time for the holidays. So they'll be back in like early November. And so far the feedback, this isn't, and granted I'm a little biased, but the feedback has been incredibly positive from parents. And if you know someone who has it, just ask them what they think of it. Mm-hmm. And in general, we've just heard amazing stuff. And as a result, like our wait list is like bonkers off the charts.
But people should get on the wait list so that they have a chance of getting one of these for the holidays.
This is right. If you get on the wait list, you are guaranteed to get it for the holidays. So you'll totally save your place. So if this does sound cool to you, if you have a kid who enjoys my videos or may want to be an engineer, and by the way, even if they don't plan on being an engineer, I say that it's like, the promise of the box is like, that you help you think like an engineer. And what that means is you can break complex problems down into bite-sized pieces. Or, you know, it makes you a better piano practicer or soccer player or math doer because you know failure is okay and it's part of the process. Like, that's something I literally drill in every month with these boxes. Like, this is just a prototype. Start with this, and what are you gonna do to build on it to make it cooler? And it's okay if it doesn't work at first. That's the point. And so it's like getting that into kids' minds that it's like, hey, Mark Rober says it's cool to fail. This is how he makes all of his videos. And I just beat that over their heads. Like, this is the process. And I really think that inspires kids to not just give up immediately. It's a very visceral way to engage all their senses, to build something cool you can shoot mom with. But at the same time, I'm sneaking that science. I'm sneaking in those life lessons and they're not even realizing it.
I love that. And I will say that my 10-year-old who was working on building this, my 15-year-old is very mechanically inclined on her own. And so she could easily see what needed to happen, where it was like, just put it together. You know what I mean? Like, it was easy for her, but my 10-year-old is working on it on her own because she wanted to do it on her own, like without assistance. And she really did persist in completing it. And she's not normally one of those kids who's like, I must figure out this really, really complex problem, but she really did want to build this thing.
Love to hear it.
That was really cool. Yeah. And I love that those are transferable skills, that it's not about like make your child a NASA engineer. It's about learn how to think, because there's not enough thinking people in the world, Mark.
Yeah. That's right.
Enough. We need more thinkers,
yeah.
More people who are able to look at a problem from multiple angles, from multiple directions, and not just, this is, I would imagine, a fatal flaw of engineering is assuming you know the answer immediately.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that so many people, no matter the topic, whether it's politics, engineering, whatever it is, they assume they know the answer immediately. What if they 100%. Were willing to tackle a problem from multiple angles, they might find that in fact, their first assumption was not correct.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And if I can mow your grass for a little bit and say, that, you know, when it comes to politics with me personally, that's like my rule of thumb. If I ever find myself being outraged about a thing, or if I have friends, and I have lots of friends literally on both sides of the aisle, and I have certain friends on both sides of the aisle who are just outraged about everything, I'm always like, that's a sign for me to like check myself, and it's like, am I a product of the algorithms that are being fed to me? Am I just being fed one thing? Like, if your assumption on something that happens is like, well, the other side is just evil, terrible people, you know, and that's why they do this, then you need to check that. And if you can't answer the question, what would a reasonable person who thinks the other side of this issue, what would their argument be? What would they say in a reasonable manner that's convincing? What's their most convincing argument? If you don't have an answer for that, you need to go check more sources. And that's true for politics, and that's true for engineering, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
totally. I always say, if you can't explain somebody else's position back to them,
yeah,
in a way that they say, that's right, that is what I think, then you don't understand it well enough. You're operating on your own assumptions,
yeah,
and not on what somebody else really thinks. So I always appreciate that you are helping kids learn how to think, even if they're not somebody who is going to, you know, engineer something at Apple. It's a highly, highly needed transferable skill. And I love the way that you present it in a way that it's not just like facts on a whiteboard.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It kind of reminds me of those like old Apple TV commercials where it's like, I'm a Mac and I'm a PC. You know, like, I think science communication sometimes, and even, by the way, like, political communication as well. Like, you are the Mac in that ad where it's like, oh yeah, it's cool. It's like understandable. Like, I get it. Versus like before, it's like, here are the facts. Yeah.
Well, we could keep doing this all day. This is great fun. But tell everybody where they can sign up to get on the wait list for one of your Crunch Labs boxes, because people really should consider getting it for their kids for Christmas or whatever holiday they celebrate.
Sure, that's right. It's just crunchlabs.com. And then once you're on the website, you can see, like, I've made a couple little videos that kind of explain what it is. But honestly, if you know someone who got into the first, you know, we sold tens of thousands of subscriptions out of, you know, when we launched it. If you know anyone, like, that would be my favorite thing. Just ask them what they think of it. Barring that, go on the website and check it out. And I would not make anything that I didn't 100%. Like, I'm very careful about anything I put my name on. And, like,
totally,
this is all me. And I feel so strongly that this is, like, a good thing to have out in the world. So.
And people can find you on YouTube and be one of your 20 plus million who's counting subscribers.
That's right.
Oh, I love your work. I really appreciate you. I always appreciate knowing that when my kids are watching your content, that they are being both entertained and they're learning something. And I just appreciate what you're putting out to the world. And I'm really grateful for your time today.
Yeah, likewise. That everything you just said, I'm rubber, you're glue. So.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, Sharon.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Here's Where It Gets Interesting. And I'm wondering if you could do me a quick favor. If you enjoyed this episode, would you consider leaving us a rating or a review or sharing a link to it on your social media? All of those things help podcasters out so much. Here's Where It Gets Interesting is written and researched by executive producer Heather Jackson. Our audio engineer is Jenny Snyder, and it's hosted by me, Sharon McMahon. We'll see you again soon.